Welcome to the EFL Podblog. Join us at www.eflpodblog.com and subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes.
So we're working up to the 2017 Rugby Six Nations Championship, which features the home nations, Italy and France. And it's causing quite a lot of interest on the site, as we did one last year, a whole series, and we're going to do a series this year. So we'll be talking about the pre-match and the aftermatch, generally the aftermatch, that is not the drinking aftermatch, but what happened in the match, the scores, etc.
Cheers.
And we've had a few questions from some of our listeners. Susan, you have a question there.
Yes, I have. I got a question from Simon. He lives in the north of France and he's a young fan of football. So he doesn't know much about rugby. So his question is to you, Chris. What's the difference between rugby and football?
I have my strong feelings on this. What they say is that rugby is a game played by gentlemen who act like thugs or something like this. And football is a game of thugs played by game of gentlemen played by thugs. That's it.
I suppose it all depends where they have their punch up, I suppose, on the pitch or in the
I mean, there's a lot more discipline in rugby. The referee is definitely in charge. Nobody would, well, they might answer the referee back, but they generally call him sir already, or monsieur in France, or senor maybe in Spain or wherever. But the referee is definitely in charge, and they won't. For example, you can look at the best referee in the world, arguably, is Nigel Owens, and nobody will back chat him. They'll be off yellow card.
That the players respect the rules.
Absolutely, they have to.
Okay, but what about from the technical side of the game?
The ball's different.
Oh, yeah?
The ball's the right shape, whereas a football is round.
Okay.
Football has two goals, rugby has two goals, but they don't score goals in the goals. They score goals over the try line, and they can score drop kicks through the posts. That's above the bar and through the posts, and penalties through the bar and above the posts.
And what about handling the ball?
They obviously handle the ball. They can handle it with the heads as well. They can kick the ball. In rugby, we're talking about here. Yeah. But they must pass backwards.
Okay, so because in football, they kick
forwards, which rugby can as well.
Yeah. Okay.
They can't handle the ball in football, although some do. If you remember Thierry Henry against...
If you're lucky.
I think it was against Ireland who scored with his hands.
Maradona.
Let's move on to that. Maradona,
Right, okay. And,
in other news.
And what kind of scores are we looking at, the difference between football and rugby?
Well, football is only a goal, one goal, whether it's a penalty or a goal, whereas rugby, it's 5 points for a try, 3 points for a penalty, and 2 points for a conversion.
So you can get some really big scores. Any idea?
Well,
biggest you've ever known?
There's over 100 sometimes. Yeah. But I mean, it's very rare. But you'll get, in the 30s and 40s easily.
Great.
Maybe even more.
Okay. Well, I've got a follow-up question from Simon. As I said, he lives in the north.
Just one thing. Oh, yes. When they handle the ball in rugby, they cannot pass it forward or, punch it forward. That's called a knock-on.
Okay, I hear that word a lot.
Which gives a scrum.
We'll
go on to the scrum afterwards.
Yes, please. So, Simon's follow-up question. He's from the north.
Okay.
And he asked, why is rugby popular in the south of France, southern France, but not in the north?
It's strange, isn't it? I don't know why. I mean, there's about three big teams in Paris. I can't think. Oh, there's another one in Vannes. But there's Racing 92, there's Stade Français, and there's another one called the Puke, which is Paris.
That doesn't sound nice.
No, it's Paris University Club or something like this. And it's quite a well-known club. It's there's also Massy, which is in the lower divisions, but it's a really sort of a breeding ground for good players that go on.
But really, it's all happening in the south.
Yeah, south of Bordeaux, really. I don't know, it's strange, because if you look in England, it's different. It's generally in the south as well. Oh, no, it's the same, isn't it? Apart from rugby league, because we're talking about rugby union.
That's for sure.
Now, rugby league, I only know teams in the very deep south, Perpignan, Avignon, etc., etc., Toulouse has a team, Théo 13. In England, rugby league's really predominantly played in the north.
Okay.
Yeah, so it would have been.
So it seems to be in regions, really.
Yeah, I think rugby league, which is 13 players, I think it was the precursor of rugby union.
Okay.
I think so, but we'll have to check that one out.
Right.
Well, so, I've got a question for you.
Yes, well, I hope I can answer.
And it's from Sebastian, who lives in Paris, and is a fan of handball.
Oh, well, France is called champions of handball, yeah.
Now, Sebastian says rugby is not a worldwide sport.
Yes.
Which countries play it?
Well,
and who are the best teams?
Oh, Gunny, right.
And do they have any particularities?
Well, in fact, I do know, because I had an inkling that Sebastian might ask me this, and I think there are over 4.5 million players worldwide.
Wow.
Of which, would you believe, 40% play in England.
Unbelievable.
And that's England. That's not the whole of the UK. No. That's only England. So it's a real English game. But, of course, in the World Cup, you have all the big teams, Canada, Australia, there's even the USA, Scotland and Wales and Ireland, South Africa. So it is played all in the world, but only 4.5 million players. And as for the particularities, well, the famous one everybody knows, of course, is the All Blacks.
Mm-hmm.
Always dressed all in black, usually, and they have the haka.
Mm.
I think you've seen the haka.
Many times, yeah. Yeah,
so
I was with the All Blacks in Toulon with them. That's another story. There's a podcast on the site about it, in fact.
Oh, right.
Where,
have to look at that.
Where I podcasted many of the famous players of the All Blacks.
But the haka is a great...
But do you know they were originally called the All Blacks?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it was... In fact, I think they were playing in England, and the way they played was really fast-running rugby. And I think one of the commentators said, they're All Blacks, which are the lighter, faster running player. And I think it came from there.
Oh, right.
Which can be checked on Google, of course.
Yes, I always think it was more like a fashion item.
Okay,
but so fashion item, the blue, the French, their colour is blue.
Yeah.
So, you know, people always say, you know, come on the blues, you know.
Mm.
And they have the symbol of the cockerel. Then there's the Pumas, they're from Argentina.
Okay.
South African Springboks, because that's the an animal indigenous to South Africa.
Uh-huh.
England, they're white, all in white usually, and they sing songs.
Like, everyone sings songs.
Well, the famous songs, swing Low Sweet Charity. But I think that sums up that question.
Yeah, very good.
Right, quick question for you from Florence.
Go on.
Okay, she saw rugby in the last Olympics, and her question is, why was it rugby sevens, seven in a team? Why wasn't it the normal rugby with 15 players in each team?
I'm not really sure, but I know that rugby union, 15 that is, started in 1900 Olympics and then was dropped after 1924. It's never been played since. And they just reintroduced rugby sevens into the 2016 Olympics in Rio, which I think it had a huge... following, and I think it really made it popular.
Yeah.
Fiji, the world champions there. Fabulous team.
Very, very fast game.
Yeah, very fast. You wonder how they can keep going, you know, with just seven, and they cover a lot of... It's very fast, and also it doesn't last as long as the 40 minutes of each half of a rugby union or rugby league game.
So
it's a lot quicker.
Is it 10 minutes aside or something?
I can't remember. I think it's something like that.
Yeah,
sure. Something like
that. It
keeps
people's interest.
Yeah, yeah.
When they're not...
Well, I don't think they could do much more because they're just running all the time, and then there's big impact with them as well. But there's some up and coming teams which, believe it or not, Kenya have got a good team, and Portugal have got quite a good team. I mean, they're not really, you know, amongst the top teams, but they're not bad at all. Huh? They're on their way.
And also in the Olympics, there were women playing, and they were fantastic. I thought the women.
Women's rugby is getting more and more popular.
Yeah, very very fast. Very very skillful.
Most teams have got them, and yeah.
Okay.
A women's team, that is. Okay, I've got a question from Tara, who's a Queen roller derby player.
Oh, yes.
She wears a lot of protection when she's doing rollerblading. I think, Tara, we did a podcast with on roller derby. Have a look in the index. So she says, why not in rugby? That is, why don't they wear a lot of protection like in other sports, like in American football, etc.?
Well, if only I knew the answer to that, but I suppose it's... It's
because they're tough.
They're tough guys, but I suppose it's just a tradition when they started playing, they didn't put helmets on by the American footballers. It's the tradition, they still have helmets.
I think it is a cultural thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's a cultural thing. But having said that, I mean, I do know there are quite a lot of injuries in rugby. They say these days the guys are getting bigger, stronger, faster, and there's lots of injuries.
And the morphology's definitely changed. But,
yes, so,
it depends if they're backs or forwards.
Yeah, but it's true that they don't have much protection.
But where you can see them, they're pouring blood.
Yes. I mean,
today when they get a head injury, they're off straight away, and they have a concussion test. If they've got a blood injury, they're off straight away as well. They're replaced.
This is quite a newish
it's
thing.
It's fairly new, yeah, in the last few years.
Yeah.
But what they say that rugby players. Generally spend 40 minutes pretending that they haven't got an injury when there's blood pouring out of them, whereas they say that footballers play 45 minutes pretending that they do have an injury when they don't. But I mean, that's what I've heard.
That's your personal point.
No, that's what I've heard. Okay. I've seen on internet.
Yes, but it's true that they are tough guys, and they have a gum shield, but that's about it, really.
Well, they have gum shield. They also have, you know, some sort of body armour, but it's really not, you know...
It's minimal compared to
the Americans. Yeah, it's more padding and
roller derby and stuff like that.
And they'll have maybe, something around their head sometimes, a scrum cap or whatever, you know.
That's not much, is it?
It's nothing at all, no.
Okay, here's a question from Sue, who lives in Toulouse. Right, and she asks, what are the names of the different positions in rugby?
Oh, my word. Are you ready?
So, what are the roles? Just tell me some.
Okay, basically, it's sort of split between forwards and backs. So you've got the forwards. I'll go by the numbers, if you like. The number two is called the hooker. Okay, that's a guy that generally hooks the ball in scrum and also throws in the line-out ball.
Okay, so hooking is like throwing in a way.
Yeah, yeah. But hooking is actually hooking with the foot the ball when it's in the scrum, okay, as well. And on either side, you have the loose head prop and the tight head prop, which is number two and three, respectively. Four and five are locks. You have number six and number seven, which is six is the blindside flanker. Number seven is the open side flanker, and then you have the number eight, who is called the number eight.
Oh, that's easy enough.
There you go.
Something I can remember.
Then you've got the backs. You've got 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. We'll just go for them very quickly. Nine is scrum half. He's the one, if you like, that's always at the breakdown, picking out the ball when everybody's on the floor. It's the one that also introduces the ball into the scrum. That's number nine.
The scrum being when the two sides are together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then you have the fly half.
I've that,
famous fly half, Johnny Wilkinson, Carlos Spencer, Fred Michalak, if you like, etc., etc. Then you have number 11, which is left wing.
Easy, yeah. Okay, I
think Jonathan Joseph is there, maybe.
Yeah.
Number 12, inside centre. 13 is the outside centre. Number 14 is the right wing. And number 15 is the full back.
Well, I hope...
And that's the lot of them.
I hope I can remember all that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
In one ear and out the other. Okay.
Well, you've got the positions there. Right?
Yeah.
So, I've got another question. This is from Sass, who is looking forward to the upcoming Six Nations tournament. So we'll come back to the Six Nations. What would you say is the best match of the tournament?
Well, that's
coming, you know. What would be the best one?
That's an easy one for me to answer.
Really?
Yes, right. It's always England-France. And in fact, there's a special name for it. It's called the Crunch.
That's what the French call
it. Le Crunch.
Yeah.
Yes, because it's the big, big match. It's the they're not really enemies, but you know, there's a long rivalry between the two countries.
Yeah.
It's always, I think, the most exciting of matches.
Do you really?
I do. Are you going to disagree with me?
Well, I think the first match is going to be a good one as well, because we've got Scotland against Ireland. It's in Murrayfield. That's the very first match of the tournament. And then Scotland are improving a lot. Ireland are a very good team, very strong team. Beat the All Blacks in the autumn. So they're going to be contenders for the Six Nations. And also there's Wales. You can never write Wales off. So I think the Wales-Ireland match could be a good one. And the last match of the tournament, all of the matches on the last day are played on the same day. But I think the last match is going to be Ireland-England.
And that will be the Crunch,
well,
I suppose.
It could well be. I mean, I think Ireland are going to win a lot of their matches. So the Ireland-England match could be one of the deciders.
Yes, it's the
decider. Wales won't really want to be written off at this point, so they're going to be in and about. So I think Wales-Ireland would be a good one. Wales Scotland would be a good one. Wales England, I think they're going to be fabulous matches.
From your point of view, every match is going to be the best.
Well, I think they are. I mean, I love the way the Italians play as well. Okay, the Italians, you know, in probably our lifetime, will not win the Six Nations, will not win the Grand Slam. But, you know, I'm willing to be wrong, but I love the way that they play the whole 80 minutes. That even if they're losing, they play, you know, with their full heart right to the end. Mm. So they're really good. Mm. Would you like to do a prognostic of the positions?
I was going to say that everybody can join in with this. It's on the site. They can.
We'll put a poll up again, yes, like we did last year.
Yes, and we can do a league.
And, yeah. There is a league, actually. Yeah.
On our site.
Yeah.
Mm. Great, so everybody now...
If you look on the top menu, it says Six Nations 2016.
Right.
There's a way you can actually put what you think the score will be for each match.
Right.
And the winner, at the end, will get a free 12-month subscription to the EFL Pod Blog Learning Centre.
Well, that is so definitely worth doing.
Isn't it?
Now everyone's an expert on rugby, now we've explained it.
Who do you think is going to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6?
Well, I'm going to say England.
England first, me too. Second?
Ireland.
Me too. Third?
Wales.
Me too. Fourth?
Scotland. I'm sorry, I changed my mind. France.
Oh, really? I'd put Scotland there.
Give him a chance.
Well, I'm just thinking, not giving him a chance, but I'm thinking of how it will play out.
Yeah.
I think Scotland will be there. I think France and then Italy.
Yes.
That's how I think it will be.
And neatly similar.
Let's hope that we're not taken to task on this one.
Yeah, so watch this space.
Okay, thanks, Sue.
Thanks.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again on www.eflpoplog.com and subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes.